declare President Donald J. Trump incapable of executing the duties of his office.
That is what many U.S. lawmakers have in mind today. It's Wednesday, the 13th of January, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. president distances himself from the attack on the Capitol. Hong Kong's leader accuses Western powers of hypocrisy. Red Cross and Red Crescent say COVID vaccines are not the immediate cure. And COVID has been found among gorillas at a U.S. zoo. That and more on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. House of Representatives is preparing to vote to impeach President Donald Trump this week, following the violent breach of the U.S. Capitol by the president's supporters that left five people dead. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on Democrats' options for removing Trump just days before his term ends.
Just days after President Trump's supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol to stop the electoral vote count certifying President-elect Joe Biden's win, House Democrats are now acting to remove President Donald Trump.
Amendment to declare President Donald J. Trump incapable of executing the duties of his office.
Their first step? A resolution calling on Vice President Mike Pence and a majority of Trump's cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment in the next 24 hours, declaring the president unfit for office. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
If the Vice President and the cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
Despite rioters' calls for his hanging for refusing to overturn the election results, Pence is not expected to take that step. A vote on impeachment instead could come as early as midweek.
We need angry patriots to fill the House.
Charging Trump with incitement of insurrection for his statements on his now suspended Twitter account and for remarks to supporters immediately before the January 6th Capitol riot. President Donald Trump.
And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
With a little over a week before Biden's inauguration, Democrats say they can act fast. Democratic Representative Ted Lieu.
This was all out in the open. This was open incitement of people to stop Congress from accepting the certified Electoral College results.
That would make Trump the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice. George Washington University School of Law professor Paul Berman.
A sitting president inciting an insurrection against the United States government is perhaps the worst thing that a president could ever possibly do. That statement needs to be made. Second, and more pragmatically, if he were impeached and convicted, that would prevent him from running for office in the future.
There is some Republican support for congressional action holding Trump accountable for his actions. Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger.
I think the best thing would, for the country to heal would be for him to resign. The next best thing is the 25th Amendment.
But Democrats already have the votes for impeachment. They will likely wait to send the article over to the U.S. Senate until later this year. An impeachment trial would stop all other Senate business, hampering Biden's first 100 days in office with a new Democratic majority in both chambers. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence had what a senior administration official described as a good conversation at the White House Monday evening, marking the end of a silent period in their relationship after the riot at the Capitol. Brian Wood has more.
U.S. President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence have spoken for the first time since the riot at the U.S. Capitol. That's according to a senior White House official, who says they had a, quote, good conversation Monday evening. It would also mark their first meeting since Trump slammed Pence for not challenging President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College win. Trump encouraged his supporters to march to the Capitol while Pence presided over the certification process for Biden's victory. A source familiar with the situation said that Trump had not reached out to Pence to check on his safety when he was evacuated as the Capitol was being mobbed. The violence left 5 people dead, including a police officer. Some Trump supporters at the scene discussed assassinating Pence for being a traitor. The senior official says that when they spoke Monday, Trump and Pence discussed the riot and, quote, reiterated that those who broke the law and stormed the Capitol last week do not represent the America First movement. The vice president has resisted pressure from Democrats to invoke the 25th Amendment, which would remove Trump from office. The Democrat-controlled House of Representatives plans to impeach Trump on Wednesday unless he resigns. Impeachment charges accuse him of inciting violence against the United States.
That was Brian Wood reporting. This is VOA Asia. President Donald Trump is taking no responsibility for his role in fomenting a violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last week. A Capitol police officer died from injuries suffered in the riot, and police shot a woman during the violence. 3 others died in what authorities said were medical emergencies. Speaking to reporters before traveling to Texas on Tuesday, Trump said his remarks to supporters last week were totally appropriate.
Well, if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said. But they've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate.
Minutes before his supporters stormed the Capitol, Trump encouraged them to march on the seat of the nation's government where lawmakers were tallying Electoral College votes affirming President-elect Joe Biden's victory. Trump for months has also spread baseless claims that the November election was fraudulent, despite his own administration's findings to the contrary. As rioters were still in the Capitol, Trump released a video seemingly excusing the events, saying of the rioters, "We love you. You're very special." We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Hong Kong's leader has accused Western powers of hypocrisy for condemning the siege on the U.S. Capitol after supporting pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. At her weekly press briefing in Hong Kong on Tuesday, Carrie Lam defended the unprecedented mass arrest of opposition leaders last week.
Since June 2019, everybody has seen what has happened in Hong Kong. We have rampant violence and riots undermining the safety of Hong Kong people, properties and businesses. But some overseas commentators or politicians were sort of condoning or encouraging this sort of activities under the guise of democracy. But when the same thing seemed to happen in their own country, they immediately took a very different approach to condemn the violence, and some said that this was verging on sedition in American society.
55 Hong Kong opposition figures were arrested on suspicion of breaching the national security law by holding unofficial primaries ahead of the since-postponed Hong Kong election. The raids were the latest use of the national security law against the pro-democracy movement. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies warn that COVID-19 vaccines are not a silver bullet, the magic cure that will end the pandemic overnight. The agency urges people to remain vigilant and to use preventive measures to protect themselves as the vaccination campaigns get underway. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
COVID-19 vaccines are being rolled out in a number of countries around the world, giving rise to hopes that the pandemic will soon come to an end. The International Red Cross Federation's Director of Health, Emmanuel Capobianco, views vaccines as an important tool to stop this dreaded disease in its tracks. He tells VOA immunization drives are a matter of life and death, and that countries which have the vaccine must increase the speed and scale of inoculations.
We need to vaccinate more and more and more people and as fast as we can. For those countries that don't have the vaccine, it's important that there is a push from the international community to bring those vaccines in as fast as possible. While this happens, though, and we cannot wait for the silver bullet to arrive, and we need to take the precautions that can save lives.
He says these include basic preventive measures such as physical distancing, wearing masks, isolating when sick, and going into quarantine when coming in contact with an infected person. Capo Bianco says these actions are particularly important now as the epidemic is infecting and killing people at a rate not seen since the beginning of the crisis a year ago. He notes global cases are averaging 800,000 a day, including 15,000 deaths. He says these spikes appear in part to be driven by the emergence of two new COVID-19 variants in Britain and South Africa. He says the variants are more contagious than COVID-19 and more people are getting infected. Fortunately, he notes, the new strains do not appear to decrease the effectiveness of the vaccines. He says the new variants have now spread to more than 40 other countries, including in Africa.
That is something that will need to be watched very, very closely because somehow Africa has been affected less than many had predicted by this pandemic so far, and we would hope that Africa could still see lower numbers of cases and deaths, but the indication is that numbers are increasing.
Capo Bianco says everyone should look forward to being vaccinated against COVID in the near future. In the meantime, he urges people to remain vigilant and protect themselves. He warns the entire world remains at risk from this disease until all countries receive the vaccines in a fair and equitable manner. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We continue on VOA Asia. In what could be a first for the U.S. and the world, several gorillas at the San Diego Zoo test positive for the coronavirus. Correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
San Diego Zoo Safari Park Director Lisa Peterson says the members of the gorilla troop were tested last week for the virus that causes COVID-19.
We saw some mild symptoms that are similar to those that humans would experience.
Peterson says some of the gorillas have been coughing and that all are thought to be infected. She thinks they also know how they were exposed.
We suspect that the gorillas got this virus from an asymptomatic team member.
That worker, as well as all the others, suit up and mask up every time they're dealing with the animals in the park. Veterinarians are closely monitoring the gorillas, and they will remain in their habitat at the park. I'm Tim McGuire.
Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. In Japan, an annual Shinto ritual of soul purification this year included prayers for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic. Social distancing guidelines forced a much smaller gathering than in previous years, but as VOA's Arash Arabasati reports, believers still turned out and stripped down for the annual observance.
Sunday in Tokyo, a handful of people gathered to take off their clothes and jump in icy water to perform a 66-year-old Shinto ritual at the Tepuzu Inari Shrine. Believers come to purify their souls, but this year they're also asking for an end to the COVID-19 pandemic.
I prayed that the coronavirus comes to an end as soon as possible. I also prayed that we could have ordinary, normal daily lives.
65-year-old Shinji Ui heads the shrine's parishioner group and also takes the plunge with the COVID-constrained community. This year, the pandemic shrunk the group size from more than 100 in 2020 down to a dozen, which means the water stayed exceptionally cold. Participant Naoaki Yamaguchi explained.
Normally, we have more participants, and it makes the water temperature a little bit warmer. But this year, there were just 12 people, so the coldness was crazy.
Even under a clear sky with sunshine, the temperature here is about 5 degrees Celsius. That means lots of warming up for this group dressed in traditional loincloths for men and thin white gowns for women before they immerse themselves in a tub of water laden with ice blocks. Organizers hold a ceremony every year on the second Sunday of January. This year's theme included warding off epidemics, and there were no spectators allowed. Arash Arabasati, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Amy Heibel, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.